Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy. Interstellar Gaming Podcast.
Welcome to Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy, Episode 1. I'm Brian Wade, and I'll be your captain today.
And I'm Vader, and I'm the ship's botanist and beekeeping specialist.
And I'm Stuart. Once again, I'm the gunner, but I've been deranked from ship's therapist due to some questionable activities. So I'm now vending machine technician grade 3, who basically puts crisps into the machine in his downtime.
And the important thing that you have to know about the Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy ship is that we are all staying 6 feet apart from each other at all times.
Yes.
There's the customary greeting aboard the ship is a warm hug, which has made it very hard because we can't do hugs anymore in this, the time of COVID-19.
No, it's just a cold embrace.
My daughter's started doing ear hugs before we went into lockdown and, like, and yes, you should reach your arms out and wiggle your fingers. So your ear hugs. If we can do that. So arms outstretched and wiggle the fingers.
That is not to get too sad right off the bat, but that has definitely been one of the hardest parts about this stuff going on right now is not being able to like hug my grandma when I see her. Because, you know, who knows how long my grandma is going to be around. And it sucks not being able to hug her every time I see her.
Yep, well, at this stage here in New Zealand, we can't actually go see grandmas.
Well, I think last weekend might have been the last time that I get to see grandma for a while.
Yeah, and it's probably safer for you, for her, not for you not to, unfortunately.
Yes. Oh, it definitely is, but, you know.
Were we too...
Good old pandemic.
Yes.
How's everybody doing? How's everybody doing in a pandemic?
Surviving. I'm glad to be on the spaceship.
Yeah.
It's nice to be in the vacuum-sealed environment of a spaceship, right?
Yep.
Keeping busy.
The isolation.
Yeah. So, Stuart, I know you're working from home. Charles, are you working still, or are you just off right now?
We were taking precautions probably about 2 weeks ago in our office, like reducing clients coming into the office. But officially, New Zealand has gone to full lockdown, so everyone is not allowed to work from work. So I'm working
not even from home.
I'm working from home in the last few days. That officially happened on Wednesday. We're a bit behind. It took longer to get all the way down to this part of the earth. So we're a little bit behind.
Which is impressive considering when it started.
Yeah.
Well, you know, New Zealand.
I mean, China's
secluded,
closer
but...
to you than me. Yeah, I mean...
But I think we also talked about how New Zealand is also a big tourism capital, so.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that's probably what brought it in.
Oh, yeah, almost certainly.
And also, Kiwis, we tend to travel lots as well, and so lots of Kiwis coming back. Most of our cases are from people who have been overseas. I think we've got out of our 450, which has grown about 400 in the last week, our cases.
Good, good.
Has been from actual direct travel related. There's only like a dozen or so at most from, maybe less than that, from community transmission that have been identified. So that's the good sign, is that we may have actually hopefully nipped it in the butt. But still, yeah. So I'm working from home.
What about you, Stuart? How's it going?
That's what it is. I grit my teeth and bear it, and I see a sunrise every day. it's in a bad way. Bad way, boys. We are in full lockdown in the point that we're like kicking the nuts off of the cops, sending you to jail if they see you on the street and you don't have a good enough reason. We're not quite at the level France is at, but we're getting there pretty swiftly.
Yeah, y'all are pretty much on can't leave the house unless it's for like the doctor or groceries, right?
Yeah, it's the bare minimum. If you need it, you go for it, but yep. you're allowed outside once a day, called yard time. other than that, it's basically hunker down and hope for the best and hope that when you ignore this thing, it disappears from your front door. But I can have a feeling it just sits there waiting for you waiting in the bush.
Yeah, it's just waiting outside. When's the last time either of you actually left your house? Like, not just to go outside, like, walk around the yard or whatever, but, like, actually go somewhere.
I went and got petrol on Thursday, but I don't know if that counts. And I snuck in to see my mother and father, but they're not old. They're old, but they're not old. Actually freely walked the streets as a free man and went to shops and stuff and just did my usual life was probably 2 weeks ago.
As I said, we're a little bit further behind, so our lockdown just happened this past Wednesday. So I was at work Tuesday, but it was pretty
okay.
It was pretty mental because the lockdown was, we knew it was going to happen, so it was just
yeah, it was like imminent.
Yeah, so it was gearing up. I knew it was going to get worse 2 weeks ago, so I've been ready for this. So I didn't panic buy because I'm not an idiot. What I did panic buy was video games and board games because I knew this was going to go south.
And yeah.
So
I had to get rid of that Xbox with Games Pass. Damn it.
Nah, I still wouldn't want to be touching that Xbox. It probably sends virus over the network. So I bought like a bunch of games the week before. And whatnot. So I was all stocked up for video games. So I went out in the desolate world that we live in right now on Friday to because we needed a few supplies. And we have some close friends who live in the suburb over from us who just got back from overseas, so they're quarantined, so they're not allowed out of their house. And so we're kind of their point of contact to provide food.
So you'll go to the grocery store for them or whatever.
Yeah, so we
chap and run technique.
Yeah,
just chap the door and run away.
Yep. Run away.
That's it. And so, I did actually go out Friday, so 2 days ago. So I have been out. We're quite lucky, I think, in New Zealand, especially where we live. We're like right on the outskirts of the city, so it's we actually have farmland. And lifestyle blocks just over the hill from us, so we can actually walk to there and there's just paddocks and open hills with very few people around, so we can get some exercise and some fresh air without really coming in contact with people and having to travel very far.
That's good.
So we're quite blessed and lucky in that way. What about you, Brian?
Oh, man. So for me, actually, the last time I went out was earlier today. I just had to go to the grocery store. I needed
cheating.
Eggs and milk.
No,
not really cheating. I just went to the grocery store. But other than that, that was the first time I had left my house in a week, which is, not the worst thing in the world, but you do go a little stir crazy, even as someone who enjoys just being home and hanging out. Like, my cat has been thrilled that I've been home all the time. She's, like, all about it. So I don't know how to explain to her that I'm going to have to go back to work at some point. But other than that, just kind of hanging out, playing video games. My house is just about the cleanest it's ever been because I finally have time to actually clean now in a way that I haven't had time to do, like, true deep cleans in a while. So that feels pretty good.
Nice.
And the other thing that I don't know if I've ordered carry out twice this week. And both times, I will tell you that the COVID-19 pandemic has introduced something to America that is wonderful, and I am actually legitimately thankful for, and that is contact-free delivery, where the delivery driver, rather than having to greet them at the door, they will just leave your food at the door and leave. And it's fucking great.
Yeah. Well, see, we've got no fast food. Anything is all shut down. So, like,
yeah, our restaurants are still open, like, for delivery and stuff. So,
yeah, it does seem a bit crazy. Like, it's good what you're doing and what your company's done, and you're shut down. But the problem is still so many things still operating. It's not gonna slow it down, unfortunately.
Well, that's America for you.
Yeah. Well, stay safe, Brian.
We're number one, baby. Number one in COVID-19 cases. Soon to be number one in COVID-19 deaths.
And Olm Baister. Get in there.
Yeah, we went and we bought a whole bunch of chocolate melts so we can make our own Easter eggs with the kids because we're going to be in lockdown.
Nice.
Yeah, it's weird because I've had work and because I work in tax, our government's done quite a big grants to businesses to keep employees employed who have lost income because of this. And so a lot of my clients, it's been quite stressful. Like, I usually don't find my work stressful, but it has been this week. So I found it really hard to kind of relax because I've been trying to ease people's minds and help them deal with their financial crisis. So it's been a bit weird this week. Yeah, so we'll get into it, though. We've got 4 weeks to settle in and find a routine.
Yep. So, you know, what do you do? Just stay home.
If it's by within 4 weeks, I'll be surprised, but we'll see. Voice of optimism there in the corner.
Well, we're hoping in New Zealand. I think we could have moved quicker with this full lockdown. Like, I think it should have happened maybe a week sooner. But regardless, I think we've done it earlier on in the piece than other countries. So I'm hoping that at least here in New Zealand, we might come through it a little bit more pleasantly.
Yeah.
The quicker it goes, the better.
Yes.
Well, let's get out of the somber COVID-19 corner and talk about some video games and stuff.
Join us next team for our next episode of Pandemic Monthly.
didn't we actually joke about having the COVID-19 corner in the episode zero?
Yeah, I worry.
It's going to harm every month now.
I worry we were a bit too light-hearted about it last time. Or...
Yeah, not serious enough about it.
Well, I don't know. I did say it was an American constructor thing. I think that's pretty a heavy statement, you know?
That's true.
Still to this day, people, I still believe that's true.
I think,
but don't tell Americans.
I think we took it seriously, but we said people not to panic, and because that was the issue then, is people were panicking and being silly with their shopping.
So what you're saying is
I still think that's true, though.
Yes.
Like, I still think that the people that are buying thousands of rolls of toilet paper are crazy.
Yeah, but
toilet paper's like gold.
Did you guys see that Costco, which is a company in America that I don't know if it exists?
Yeah, that's what I buy my toilet paper.
Costco had signs up in their store that they would not take returns on toilet paper and rice and a couple other things. Basically, just like the things that people were panic buying because people started like realizing that they had way too much of these things and trying to return them. And Costco was just like, no,
too much
good.
Toilet paper. It's one of these things you always need at some point.
Right. But, you know, like, people wanted money more than they wanted the toilet paper, right?
Yeah,
because probably, suddenly they lost their job and, like, you can't buy food with shit wipe, so.
Don't know. The mean streets of LA, I'm sure I can find an underpass.
Maybe you can
barter.
Now, honestly.
I mean, what, two rolls for a burrito?
Well, that's the thing. We got it not as bad here, like we didn't get ridiculous, but the toilet paper was the one thing that we got that went low. But we produce it locally in New Zealand. So,
well, that's the thing. That's the thing about it was like everywhere. Like I've seen like it happened here, and then they turned around and went, by the way, guys, we make toilet paper here.
Yeah.
We don't import it. It's actually a thing that's created in this country.
Right.
It's like, why would you freak out? Because if anything, there's going to be plenty of toilet paper for here to eternity because the trees are here and the plants are here that make it. It's like, don't add up. And then the actual toilet manufacturer came out and said, yeah, we've got enough surplus stock sitting here ready to ship for to fill the country like five times over. And the guy that makes the toilet paper is just rubbing his hands and going, oh, good times.
He's printing money. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, and that's now that lockdowns happened, the supermarkets had time to restock, and there's no issue. Like, and that's what people need to realize is.
See, I don't know what supermarkets are. They're doing the one in. I know it's not quite one in, one out. It's more like four in, four out. But it's like you need to queue outside now to get let in to go around the shop and stuff and all that. Here, it's very it's very much like a dystopian movie from 1980. And it's very strange.
It is strange.
Because obviously there's the 2 meter rule, and then obviously there's the fact that they're only letting in, I think it's like 8 people in a supermarket people at a time. No, like letting in 15 and then warding them around like the prisoners, but they're only letting in like 8 people at a time to go around the whole thing.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Same here, but I don't think our population's dense enough in certain areas where we live, so we're not there was no queue to
get
in.
Trust me, they're pretty dense here, so...
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, that's the thing. All I thought about...
Intelligence isn't a limit.
Well, all I thought about was, when I was in the supermarket, I was like, heroes wear supermarket uniforms now. Like, and I just felt real, like, grateful for the people who are willing to go to work and still provide food. Like, that's the big thing I felt, was this big overwhelming gratitude towards people who are willing to keep working during this to help make sure everyone else can stay fed. But we didn't move on. We should have moved on. Let's move on.
It's okay. Yeah, let's move on.
Stuff. So our fantastic
let's,
corner
let's move on to
games.
The section titled Stuff.
I've been up to some random things.
I don't understand. We just moved on and Charles didn't have any Harry Potter trivia ready for us?
Oh,
or anything.
Yeah. No. I actually was looking at getting the Lord of the Rings trivia, so I had some, like, variety.
Yeah.
But I haven't yet.
That's it. Episode 1, we've already binned that idea. See, we spoke about how it was always an evolving format. See, real-time evolution, people.
What is it, which is the first Horcrux Harry destroys? You asked for it, so I had to do it.
The first one that he is it the diary?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's alarming how close he's got this Trivial Pursuit to him. On that note, people, that was alive. That was in real time, that was nearly like
that. Wasn't real time. Yeah, there's no
cut involved. There's no magic there. It's like, boom, question. Jesus, man. What the hell?
It's in my games room, my office. And it's on my desk, so...
Keeps it in his back pocket, just in case.
Whoa. Yeah, he's just got it ready at all times.
I do love some Harry Potter. So stuff, like random things I've been up to. Last time, I meant to, like literally before the last episode, I went to see Sonic that week so I could talk about it on the podcast and then completely forgot to talk about it on the podcast. So I have to bring it up.
It's because Sonic sucks.
The movie was really good. I liked it.
And that was a review. Congratulations.
I actually thought it was quite pleasantly surprised. It was actually quite fun. There was a couple of bits I were eye-rolling, but the movie as a whole was fun.
I heard that there's a Gotta Go Fast joke and a Sonic joke, which is pretty funny.
Yes, I believe there was.
I haven't seen the film, and likely will not anytime soon.
It was very Smurfs-like, the Smurfs live-action.
Yeah,
it was just like that, basically.
Okay.
So kind of
a kids movie for kids, by kids, for kids.
There were a few jokes that were that I got because I'm old, and kids didn't get. I enjoyed it.
Slip in some jokes for daddy.
Yeah.
More important, but we have to ask. Dog update. What's happening? What happened?
My dog.
No, the dog.
What dog?
You spent the whole last episode talking about you found a dog.
Oh, I found a dog.
Oh, yeah. You found a dog. Yeah,
I found a dog. Pokemon battle, remember? You catch him with your hat and all that.
I was actually disappointed about that. I told you about the dog rescue person coming, and she just never responded to my messages. So I asked, like, what happened, and I just...
It was a pandemic in full effect, but...
Well, this was still well before that, and I just never heard back. And so I was a bit disappointed. I'm hoping the dog's safe. Like, I went to go... to probably SPCA, and I'm assuming he's been adopted at this point, but I don't know, and I'm a bit sad about that, but I never heard back, and then things have just kind of got real.
Just,
so
that's just me opening old wounds, isn't it? You forgot about it ever, and you've been through the heartbreak, and then I just come in and just break open these stitches. There you go. What they got? Spill it, people. Spill it, they got.
We have added a cat to our zoo that we have at our house. So my mum's just got a
cat.
Does
it have a Pokemon-inspired tail?
No. We went and picked it up from the pet store. It was adopted. And he's very cute. We took like 4 weeks to choose a name because I want to call it Gohan or Goku or some Dragon Ball Z-inspired name. My mum refused. And she's ended up, because he's a bit mischievous, she's called him Jack Sparrow. Which I don't...
Should have named him Hank.
I did suggest Hank, but at that point we had like 7 names on the go and they all got ruled out. Mr. Bean was another name suggested. She wanted to call it Charlie, even though my name's Charles. I'm like, no, I'm not having a cat called Charlie in the house.
It's going to be weird at dinner time.
Yeah. But our dog's not playing super friendly, so we're still slowly trying to introduce them. So it's taking time. But yeah.
Well, got plenty of time to do it.
Well, yeah. and it's good. It was good timing, actually, because now my mum's got a little friend to keep her company. Other stuff I've been up to, I made a Dragon Ball lamp with my Dragon Balls that I
own. Yeah, I saw that on Twitter last night. It's really cool.
I've been wanting to do it for years and just finally like, Odin, just do it. And he's like, yeah, all right. And so we just pulled out the tools and made a little light up, tore apart a LED lamp and soldered it back together inside a box we crafted. Very first DIY project of the lockdown. I trust me, there'll be more. Yeah. And I also got lightsabers for Odin's birthday, so we've been dueling at night before bed, like when it gets dark.
Perfect.
Are they light up ones that make the wishy wishy noise, or are they plastic ones that extend as you flick them forward?
We couldn't afford to go like the full like official licensed ones.
Smashy.
They are smashy smashy ones. They are dueling ones, but they are AliExpress specials, so like they're a third of the price of the licensed ones.
Is it a case of you hearing are you hearing the dulcet thud of plastic on plastic? You know that
it has the sound.
Two big plastic tubes.
It has the, when they clash, they flash as well, and they also have a clashing sound.
That's what you want.
They also do make the lightsaber sound. That's the one problem with them. The build, like the metal hilt's really good, and the plastic's quite really solid, and the light up's really good. Just the audio is slightly off. Like, I think I need to tinker with the speakers. Odin's sounds more like a Nifty 50 scooter.
Pew, pew.
The cool thing is it actually does do the blaster noise is the best sound. Like, you can push the button on it and it does, so you can pretend like you're blocking blaster bolts.
Deflecting.
But we've been having a lot of fun getting out there at night and yeah, lighting up our street with some lightsabers.
Pretending you're actually at an airport. Bring it in, boys. Bring it in.
Like get a helicopter landing or something.
Doing, what is it, semaphore dancing?
But yeah, do some rave dancing. But yeah, they're really fun. It's the AliExpress special. You guys have AliExpress, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yeah. It's an alternate to
Wish.com. The Chinese emulator device that I spoke of last episode was purchased from AliExpress.
And did it arrive?
But it's not been opened yet. It's been kept in quarantine.
I'm holding it in my hand right now.
Brave man, you got gloves on?
It is loaded up with...
I've seen that episode of The Simpsons with the cough in the box.
It is loaded up with every NES, SNES, Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and a few other systems that I can't think of off the top of my head. ROM.
And I bet you the speaker in it sounds like junk.
The speaker actually sounds okay.
Oh, all right.
It's not amazing, but
the sound
on
these things is dreadful.
Yeah, it's not amazing, but it's fine. It's fine enough for playing, like, Mother 3 in bed, which is more or less what I've been doing with it.
Where you put a podcast on and another.
Well, I've got a podcast on.
Cool. So you're having lots of fun. So now your 17...
Now my 17 3DSs are in the trash. I threw them all away.
Yeah, they're redundant now.
eBay special. Job lot.
So does it play well?
It doesn't play 3DS games.
Oh, it doesn't?
So.
Oh, okay.
No. So, 3DS still sticking around, holding strong for all the 3DS games that I still have to play.
Good. Awesome. Glad it came.
Stuart, what about you? What's been going on in your life?
Working. I'm really a boring guy. I've got a boring life. working. I finally, that's not like finally I chose, no. Disney finally decided to bring Disney Plus to the UK this week, so they were doing it.
I wonder if those plans were accelerated by COVID-19.
Well, you'd think so, but there's Disney Plus came and everybody was like, "Oh, The Mandalorian's going to be on it!" Woohoo! And it turns out that they are actually releasing it weekly, even though the whole series is available in America.
So they're releasing it weekly for you guys?
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Yeah, I know. Luckily, some of us may have seen it already. Excellent series.
How come?
But yeah, it's every week, every Tuesday they release an episode.
Is the UK backwards? So, like, is it like in the Stone Age? How come you're getting it like 3 months?
Have you never seen Boris Johnson on the TV? I would say that answers every question you need to know. Who actually does have Corona as well on that note.
Yes, I did see that.
Yes, Boris has Corona. If Boris can get it, pretty much no one with a brain's going to get it, so we're safe. but Disney Plus, it's actually not bad if you're... Tailspin's not on it. That really annoys me.
I do like Tailspin.
Oh, yeah. Tailspin. Oh, yeah. Tailspin. It's a great theme tune. But I've been watching Gargoyles. I watched the first series of Gargoyles this week. It made me happy.
I love Gargoyles. Is that on there?
Yes, it's really strange because season 1 is 12 episodes. Season 2 is like 40 episodes. And season 3 is like 18 episodes. So I have no idea how you go 12, 48, but yeah, it's all there. So I watched that. I watched the first series, so I'm going to start the second series next week. And there's a few other kind of... All the 90s X-Men cartoons and Spider-Man cartoons are there as well. So there's a good chunk of watching there. And there's like the movies and stuff, so... Yeah, it's there's enough there to keep me happy. I haven't seen the last Star Wars movie. I know I can possibly see it elsewhere, but I was like, you know what, I'm as well just waiting for it to come out in the UK in 9 years' time and watch it on it. Clone Wars is there, so I've never seen Clone Wars, the animated series, but annoyingly, it doesn't have the Clone Wars that was the OG Clone Wars, which was done by the same guy who did Samurai Jack. I don't know if any's...
I know Samurai Jack.
Gendy Tartakovsky?
Yeah, he did see the original... There was an original Clone Wars series where
The Superior Clone Wars, although the other Clone Wars is good too.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And I really wanted to go back and revisit the OG Clone Wars, but it's not on
it. It's all on YouTube, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I'm kind of 3 seconds off of pulling the trigger and just getting the Samurai Jack box set on Blu-ray because I love Samurai Jack, and there's a new Samurai Jack game coming out. Spoilers! Ooh. But I kind of really want to get back on that horse, and I've only ever seen the first two series yet, I think. It's been years since I've seen it.
Yeah.
But for £30, it might be worth the dip for the Blu-ray box, given the situation we're in. I have plenty of time to view short animations. But also, like I say, I want to catch up on the Clone Wars because the new Clone Wars started with the Bad Batch, and I know enough about the Bad Batch to make me go, meh, I kind of want to watch this. Plus,
get good eventually.
Well, that's the thing. It's like everyone else in it. It's the whole Commander Rex and Cody and all that. And I've heard about them all and stuff, but I've never seen it. So, Rebels is there as well, which I've heard is a really good series as well, but I don't really quite have the inkling to watch Rebels yet. So, there's plenty on it. DuckTales! Gotta love DuckTales. DuckTales is on it, so is Darkwing Duck. So, there's plenty there. And it works out at like £4 a month because I pre-ordered it. I don't quite get how you pre-ordered it. I pre-ordered it.
You gave them money before it came out.
You say you gave it money before it came out. I gave them money like 5 hours before it came out because I finally found out I can get the app on my TV. So that was the deal breaker. If I can't get the app on my TV, I'm not subscribing. Luckily, I got the app on the TV and the world was a better place for a day. Just enjoying some Disney. As they say.
Weirdly enough, I've had a real hard time convincing my kids to watch it. Like, they was like, we'll just watch Netflix. And it's like...
It's better than Netflix.
Well, it's definitely targeted to kids as well. Like, there's a lot on there. I do find it's hard to see what they have. Like, you click on the different categories and it shows you, like, three or four things. And, like, I don't know, Gargoyles
is
on here.
Every episode of The Simpsons is there. Come on.
Oh, yeah. My daughter has started watching that. It's quite hilarious. My 7-year-old, she's in there watching The Simpsons.
It's like, I watched the first episode tonight and I went, right, we're in for the long haul, buckle up. So I'm going to go for day one right through to series 30.
Heck.
In the space at some point. But it's the problem with this thing. It's like, you get this thing and you're like, oh, it's amazing. But you need to kind of ration out what you're watching, or else you end up just like,
yep.
Too much. So I think it's like The Simpsons on the back burner for night time and The Gargoyles for during the day will keep me straight for a bit, and then I'll bring in Spider-Man, I think.
Tailspin's on my on ours. I just pulled it up.
Well, Tailspin's coming, because they said with Tailspin and Darkwing Duck, and I think it was Chip and Dale were coming, and Chip and Dale and Darkwing Duck are on it, but Tailspin's missing.
Yeah, we've got Tailspin
here. So I'm assuming that will come in time. I've heard as well, but if you hook it up to your... If you went to the website on your computer of choice and you use one of the thingy-me-bob things that changes your IP location, it just loads up. It loads straight into the American one if you set your thingy to America. So I was kind of like, well, I suppose I could maybe try and do that just to be cheeky, because the big stink was Frozen 2 was released the day it launched in the UK and America, but it's not coming to the UK to July. And everybody's like, why? Like, why?
Yes, it's weird.
So, well, that's just how we are. An archaic people, with archaic ways.
You still use checkbooks, don't you?
Bankers drafts all the way, mate. All the way.
Telegrams.
But yeah, so DuckTales, no. Disney Plus is now a new streaming service in my house. Holy.
Nice. We've had it for 3 months.
Well, the world said it for about a year. Let's be honest.
Keep up, man.
Well, if y'all want to know, I don't even have Disney Plus. So,
well,
but you could get it.
I don't know.
I don't even own a TV. What's up?
Oh, you can watch it on a phone.
It's not true. I don't. I own two televisions and two large computer monitors as well,
and a phone, and 18. And 3DSs
and 17 3DSs.
18 now.
Yep.
I'm sure you just bought one while we're talking.
Where's my 3DS app for Disney Plus, Nintendo?
Oh, yeah, come on. They should do it on the Switch. That'd be cool.
I mean, they might. Who knows? We'll see.
Is there a Netflix app on the Switch?
No.
That ever
No, but I think there's a Hulu app.
There was talk for ages of Netflix getting an app on it. But I don't know.
I think there was a Netflix app. Wasn't there a Netflix app on the Wii U?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
Because I think that's what triggered the idea for people that it would be coming to the Switch. But I think the Switch is quite reluctant to put certain apps on it. But like you say, it's a no-brainer. If you can put that on it, then do you know what I mean? It's like you fundamentally can get to your kids and they can sit and watch TV on it and stuff. And that's...
Yep, I can exactly confirm that the Wii U had a Netflix app. I kind of like that the Switch doesn't really have a whole bunch of like media apps, though. I like that it's just like a dedicated video games device.
Yeah, that is a good.
Because like I have the media apps on fucking everything. Yep. Why do I need them on the Switch too?
Because interconnectivity, cross-platform, this.
I don't think the screen is good enough that I like need to watch it on the Switch in bed either, though. You know, like.
Mm.
My phone screen is a nicer screen than the Switch screen. So,
well, see, that's kind of why I was like about the TV, because I was kind of like, I don't want, if I can't get it on my TV, I like watching, funnily enough, I like watching TV on TV. Even YouTube I'll watch on TV, but
yeah,
I don't want to pay for a service that I can only watch on my phone. And that was why it was a major deal breaker, because I like to actually sit on my couch in my room and watch it on my big TV and be like, yay, instead of like tiny screen, like ooh, it's just not, I don't get the thrill for it. So, and I don't own up a tablet, I know I'm a dinosaur, but I don't see the point in buying a tablet. I don't need one.
What kind of dinosaur are you?
Ship. I am a Grumpyosaurus.
Good.
But that was pretty good for off the cuff there.
Yeah, it was.
I try hard. But yeah, it's how we all consume media at different ways in different places, says the man who works for a dead media platform system newspaper. You know what I mean? It's how we do it. It's a beauty of it all. You know what I mean? Good times. Disney own the world. We salute them.
They do.
For all we know, they've got the cure, possibly.
What is used to destroy the Horcrux cup?
I don't know. The cup. Is it
I've never seen a Harry Potter movie.
Is it a basilisk fang?
Yes, it is.
Nice.
These are from the movie, and it's actually different in the book, how they destroy the cup.
I thought they used the fang in the book, too.
No, I believe the movie tricks you, because they stab it, and then they kick it into the fire in the Room of Requirements, because that's also something that can destroy it. I believe in the book, it gets burnt up in the fire.
I thought it was the diadem that got destroyed by the fire in the book.
Oh, you're right. I've got myself confused. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Look at me trying to sound all smart.
What's up?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. So in the book, the diadem is right. Is the fire, and in the movie they use the fang as well.
Yeah, there is. I'm looking at the Harry Potter fandom wiki right now, and I can confirm.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Fang is used to destroy the cup.
If only I had time to sit and watch Harry Potter films, I might actually be able to input here, but I just don't have the time.
I just took them off Netflix, which was a bummer.
I got my missus the Blu-ray box set, because she, as we proved last episode, she likes Harry Potter. So they are in the possession of my household. But
you do have
Samurai Jack box set's almost getting clicked on. It probably will get clicked on now because I've said that. I would rather have Samurai Jack in my house than Harry Potter. So there. Thanks very much, guys, for pushing me over the edge to buy Samurai
You're
Jack
welcome.
Box set. Well done. Well done.
So at least you can order it. We can't order anything. Everything's on lockdown.
Oh, no. Amazon's going big guns. It's like, as guns would go. That's the sound a gun makes people.
I'm pretty sure that our Amazon is not delivering anything but like essential items until the middle of April.
We'll shut down everything, so no entertainment can be delivered at this stage.
I can live report that toilet paper is available on Amazon.
Nice.
But they only sell it by the sheet.
Now everyone's going to panic buy it, and it's going to be sold out.
It doesn't appear as though toilet paper is available from Amazon, though. Oh, wait, no.
It's a third-party seller.
I'm seeing some Amazon Prime.
It's a gun war. It's like an arms dealer.
Hello, dealer.
You can buy novelty toilet paper with political figures' faces on it. Of course. I'm just going to go ahead and not.
You've got to be able
that.
To get the dollar bill toilet paper that's got dollar bills printed on it, because, you know.
Here we go. You can order some Green Meadow Valley pumpkin spice scented toilet paper.
What?
There you go.
Why you would do?
So if you want your butt to smell like a pumpkin pie.
Lovely. Lovely.
Well, if that's what you're into.
I'm going to put it out there. You don't want nothing involving spice near that back door. Trust me. I'll sting for weeks.
It doesn't appear as though Amazon is delivering much toilet paper, but it is available for purchase at reasonable prices.
Good.
On toilet paper on Amazon.
All right. I think it's time to move on to what we've been playing. Oh, news.
All right, let's do it.
We haven't done news. Is there anything worth talking about?
I was wanting to mention that the BAFTA, gaming BAFTAs are next week, and our man, our smelly rope creating deity, has been awarded the Fellowship Award by BAFTA, but also Death Stranded and Control are up for the same amount of awards, which is a record breaking 13, maybe? Nominations. So one of the two of them is going to win big. but obviously with this carry on happening, that it's going to be a digital event, so I think it's been streamed next Thursday on internets. So yeah, that'll be interesting. Next show we can dissect the winners and we can see who wins between Control or Death Stranded, and Disco Elysium's in with a shout as well, because I think it's on 8 nominations. So yeah, exciting times if you like men with smelly ropes. But it's also the Fellowship thing's quite an achievement, because you could argue it's been long overdue, but I think it's a case of with him winning that already, and I'm acknowledging him winning that, you're just kind of staring down the barrel of, well, odds are he might win big. They might give him Game of the Year as well, you know what I mean? So he can have that way, the fellowship, you know?
Yep.
But we'll see, we'll see. And you just care about the BAFTAs? Gaming BAFTAs, not the actual BAFTAs?
No, I don't know anything about it.
No. Nah. Okay. Just a quaint British award ceremony. The only other thing I was going to mention was, have you seen the two superpowers of the world colliding into smushiness and creating Mario Lego, which looks
very strange.
Incredible, because it's like a video game come to life, and the fact that you build levels and then you use a Bluetooth connected Mario whose eyes move and he wink and stuff and all that with a screen, and then you run through you can set timers and stuff and all that and collect coins and jump on Goombas and stuff. It's going to cost an absolute arm and a leg. Let's not pretend, but it looks cool.
I don't know. I don't like the look of the Mario.
But you're not going to be able to buy him himself.
No, I don't like the look of him. It doesn't look like normal Lego.
Yeah, because I think the majority of them special one-off custom-built thing that houses the eyes and stuff.
Well, yeah, and
because the screens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of... I made a piece, I did a wee piece on it, and I was saying, like, we've had toys to life, now we've got toys to game to life. And it's an interesting bridging point, whereas, like, Infinity and Skylink and, to a lesser extent, Lego Dimensions were all the kind of set in the real world, but then had no interactivity within the real world beyond the figures or the Lego sets. This is theoretically a Lego set that can become a video game, which is quite an interesting thing.
Yes.
And I don't know, I don't have kids, thank God. I don't know if it's a thing that would attract young kids or even kind of, I don't know what age group you'd need to be real. I think the idea of being able to build a video game in the real world is quite attractive to a 30-something-year-old adult. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Anybody wants to buy me it for my Christmas.
You're just trying to justify it now, aren't you?
Well, I could fire it in the cart with the Samurai Jack box set. Come on, boys, there's plenty of room. I think it'll be about £100, this set. I honestly think it'll be about £100.
It's going to be pricey.
It's Lego, isn't it? It's like Lego's never cheap.
Well, Lego plus franchise, a licensed Lego is always more expensive for what you get. And then this is Nintendo, which is more expensive than
at
normal.
At this stage, I would have said they'll probably be a cheeky wee counterfeit Chinese special, but the less said about the kind of things I know, the better. But Weepon is the wedding brand and knockoff Lego. They might have a go at it, maybe, I think. But I don't know. It was just a little entertaining novelty I saw, you know. Because Lego teased it, and then it was like the next day they revealed it. And the two kids in the video look like they're having immense fun, even though they're getting paid ludicrous amounts of money to have immense fun. But you know what I mean?
I'll let you know on a
We've all been there.
I'll let you know on a secret. They're paid to look like they're having fun.
No one pays for the child's joy. No one. You tell me kids in Happy Meal adverts aren't that happy because they've got a Happy Meal.
Yeah, I am.
Killing my dreams. Killing my dreams.
Ruined your childhood.
I know. It's a dark world and you've just made it that little bit more darker.
All right, Brian, what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? Let me tell you what I've been playing.
Games.
It may surprise you to hear that I've been playing Destiny 2.
Ooh, nice.
A video game about shooting aliens.
The video game, opposed to the theatrical release.
the Broadway musical. Not much to musical. Say about it, except that I think on the last episode I talked about how Trials of Osiris was coming back. That has come back, and it is very fun and very sweaty, and I've been getting my ass kicked a lot because there's a lot of people that are way better at PvP than I am. And those people are playing Trials of Osiris, but it's very fun. I'm enjoying it a lot. It's made me step up my sniper game. So I've gotten a lot better with a sniper rifle,
pew, pew.
Than I had been. doing much better at clicking on heads and doing that before my head gets clicked on, which is nice. But haven't gone flawless yet. Still working on that. This week, hopefully, is the weekend because it's a map that I like a lot. So the way Trials works, if people don't know, is it's the same map all weekend, and you pick up a card from now it's from Saint 14, and he's like the host for the Trials of Osiris, and it's games of elimination. So it's a first to five. As soon as all three players on the team are eliminated, then the round is over. Whoever wins five rounds first wins. And then the goal is to get seven wins before three losses. But if you go seven wins and zero losses, then you go flawless and you get to go to the lighthouse, which is a special area that,
Booker the Wet Wives in.
That Saint 14 hangs out in and like tells you how great you are at shooting, at clicking on heads. And I really want to go there because, Saint 14 is like my favorite character in Destiny. So I want him to tell me how good I am at clicking on heads. So hopefully we'll get there. But anyway, that's my short Destiny update for this week. Next is a game that I think we've all played in some capacity, but definitely Stuart has, is Animal Crossing came out on Friday.
Damn you, Tom Nook. Damn you!
And it is as wonderful as always. I'm having a real good time. Stuart, what did you name your island?
Sandy Banks.
I named my island Fundament after the homeworld of the Hive in Destiny. Because
I would have called it Sandy Balls, but I didn't know if Nintendo would find me because they kept saying, do not put obscenity in this thing. Like, name your character, but do not put obscenity. Name your island, but do not put obscenity. I'm like, they're going to come to my door. Mario's going to come to my door with a Luigi and give me a doing, aren't they, if I put in a bad word?
It would have been Wario.
I don't know. Maybe that's what the Mario Lego's for. Maybe it's just so Nintendo can spy on people and it'll detonate if you do anything against their terms and conditions.
It's like a really twisted Alexa. He just sits and stares at you.
Yeah.
Just sits and stares at you. And then when you turn around, he just winks. No. No, Mario. No.
I didn't mean to.
Really dark, really quiet.
So, Brian, sorry. What did you call yours, Brian? Destiny.
My island?
Yeah.
I named it Fundament, which is the homeworld of the Hive in Destiny.
Have you got past experience? This is where we're going to differ, I imagine, greatly. This is my first outing in Animal Crossing, so I'm like rookie blue on the street. I assume you've played past Animal Crossing, Animal Crossings, or Harvest Moons, or that other thing.
I've played every Animal Crossing game. The most that I played was the very first one on GameCube, but I've at least dipped my toes into every single one. I think the one I played the least was the one on the Wii. But this one is really good. Like, I'm really enjoying like just how much customization they're giving us so far as like giving us the ability to. Like, eventually you will have the ability to, like, move your house around and, like, move it to different places, which is nice because when I picked my map, my map for my island, I picked it because there was, like, a mini island in the middle of it that, like, that was surrounded by rivers. And I was I'm definitely going to put my house there. But I couldn't because it was cut off by rivers. And the conceit of this game being that you're, like, moving to an uninhabited island and, like, you're doing all of the work yourself, to domesticate it, basically.
It's just like a cute version of The Sims, isn't it? That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
For playing it the new, it's like I go in and I do a routine every day, and then I just kind of ponder about a wee bit, and then I just kind of put it off because there's nearly really a driving force in it. It's very weird because I feel there's a bit of gatekeeping in it and the fact that you can't do everything you want right away. I think the example would be, I've just built a bridge, so I put the bridge down, I got the resources, I put the bridge down, and then it goes, come back in a day and your bridge will be built. But it's real-time world time.
That's where you get into the philosophical debate of Animal Crossing Twitter that's been going on lately. Is whether or not time traveling in these games is ethical or proper to do.
Also, you can.
If you change your system clock, it will change. It will be reflective in game.
I'm not smart enough for that.
and the thing is that there's very clearly like two ideological camps as far as time traveling is concerned. Like, there's one group that is like adamantly like time traveling is terrible. Like, follow the game, like play the game at its pace. Like, because it is kind of like prescribed for, you know, like. You're just chilling out, right? Like, it's a slow life game, so, like...
If there was a perfect storm, and I mean this, like, bottom line here, if there was a perfect storm, yeah, a game, and a global event...
It truly this game is, man.
And this global event right now have created the perfect storm, and no matter what happens, 10 million people dead, doesn't matter. Animal Crossing is now raised itself because it sold our timeline. There's another game we're going to talk about, or I'm talking about later, that came out the same day, and I thought it would have been the alpha, but no.
Turns out that when there's a lot of time for people to kill, like catching bugs and fishing and just chilling out on their island.
Yeah, this has sold millions of copies, and I think, and I've read a few pieces that have said this has went from being a kind of second tier, third tier Nintendo franchise to being, it's up there with Mario Kart now, it's like there, and I definitely think, given the world and the time and the situation, it's basically, went from the bottom division to the Premiership overnight, and I think that's an amazing thing to see. Because it's just a perfect storm in it, I feel. Because I appreciate what the game is, but it's just the sheer number of people. Like, literally every other tweet's an Animal Crossing tweet.
It really is. Getting back to the time travel thing real quick, because the second ideological camp is the camp that has traveled to, like, 2093 and has these, like, incredible, like, fully developed islands with, like, roads and... these like incredible paths like to their like I've seen some videos of like people who like they look like you look like you're like going to a final boss fight by walking to their house, like the path that they have to their house, and they have these like secluded like mansions that where they lord over the rest of the island, and it's cool, but for me I really enjoy like the chill out in the island on the island for an hour or two a day. You know, like I don't need to play Animal Crossing for 8+ hours a day. Like that's Destiny for me, right? Like that's the that's the game that I play for eight plus hours a day. Like, but like I intersperse like with, you know, not leaving the house ever, like being awake and in my home for 16 hours plus a day. Like, it's a lot of like. Well, I'm kind of bored with what I'm doing in Destiny right now. Let me go sit on the couch and play a little bit of Animal Crossing, or I'll have the Switch on the desk with me, and I'll just sit at my desk and play it in handheld mode. But yeah, I'm really enjoying just like chilling out on my island and watching my village slowly grow and
running away from bees.
Running away from bees once in a while. It's great. Like I've loved this game for a long time, but
it's fact that it doesn't teach you anything as well, which I find quite interesting.
Yeah,
it's a lot of, for me, it's a lot of suck it and see. Like, oh, you've dug up a bag of money. Okay. I'll have those bells. Thank you very much. Or it's like, wait, I can bury the bag of money. What happens then? It grows a money tree. That's fantastic. Yeah. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of fun things in it, and a lot of like the fossils and stuff, and the museum. It's the museum itself is an amazing thing in such a weird way, I find. And I still, what's your stance? I don't know. You probably know about it, but see the dead body that washes up on the shores. What's the deal with
what?
Have you not seen the memes people have like, held their axe?
Tom Nook is announcing to the island, a body has been discovered.
It's like, yeah, there's a murder mystery. It's like a sailor, but he's a bird, but he's just washed up and sits on the shore, and like face down as if he's dead, but he talks, and I don't quite get what he's all about, but okay, I'm like, okay. And then the next day he disappears. It's like, what happened to him? Who knows?
Mysteries.
You'll find his wee hat.
So this time travel thing, so if you put it forward like way into the future, does just the island just progress over that as if that time had happened?
No. So what they're doing, there's almost like a cap on the amount of stuff that you can do in a day, sort of. Like, there's stuff that's time-gated, right? Like, when you get the plot for your museum, you put the plot down, and then it's like, okay, come back tomorrow, or in 2 days, and
any
the museum
big structures,
will be open.
I think. And I think as well, like, opening, like, Tom Nook's cranery shop thing, it needs, like, it needed 30 softwood, hardwood, wood. That's fine, you can do them easy. But then it needed 30 iron ore. And iron ore, the way I found it was by going about hitting rocks, but each rock, you only have like 5 rocks, and each rock only has like 9 or 7 goes at hitting it each day. And then while you hit it, you're no guarantee something. Well, there's the money rock, the mythical money rock. So the money rock doesn't count, but then a normal rock will drop like stone, clay, and maybe iron ore. I've had gold as well, a rock. And it's a case of, like, you kind of, that kind of curtails you as well, as you can only farm the rocks every day. So you kind of, there's no way of getting iron ore. I couldn't work out beyond that, you know?
Well, there is, if you can buy the Nook tickets to deserted island, to like mystery islands.
Going to Tarantula one.
and land on the Tarantula Island and just run in terror for 20 minutes. I haven't found my way to a Tarantula Island yet, but I've been looking. So, Stuart, do you know, since this is your first Animal Crossing, have you learned about the rock trick?
Dig a hole and...
Yes.
Well,
so
I've seen
you from...
Dig the hole, although the professional term is if you get a wood stack and basically put 2 wood stacks to make a V.
Yes.
And then hit into the rock, it basically braces you.
Yep.
Because what I found was if you dig a hole too close to the rock, it will only spawn the goodies because the hole's next to the
right.
rock.
Yep. You've got to do it. You've got to do it so that it's not.
You've no idea the joy I had yesterday to actually finally been able to build a ladder, because technically half my island was out of bounds. But it did my nothing because I'd weeded the whole place. The whole place is spotless, weeded, clean.
And then you climbed up on the cliffs, and suddenly
and
there were thousands of weeds.
You could see the weeds on as you ran around the edge. You're like,
yeah.
I must get these weeds. but it's a nice wee. I play it when I'm working, basically, because obviously it's not on shift, it's not really breakneck speed sometimes. It's great just to sit and do my daily chores in for Animal Crossing, buy my coins, go to the cash machine, get some mile tickets, and then put it off and go and shoot some Nazis in the head in zombie armatrology. But it fills that gap. It's that palate cleanser. It's the bedtime game. It's a good game to play before you go to bed.
It really is. It's like so laid back and just like it just something about just like chilling out and playing some Animal Crossing. Like it's just like, oh man, I could just stay here all day. It's great.
Good times.
Indeed.
I wasn't planning to get
it. What else have you been playing?
I wasn't planning to get Animal Crossing, but I panic bought it for the kids. And then
for the kids. Huh?
No, I haven't played it at all. It's not a game I'm really that interested in. I may give it a go, but Odin asked for it. We're down at the game store a week or so ago. Well, actually on the release day, a week ago. A week and a bit. And yeah, he just asked, can we get it? I'm like, all right. It'll keep them busy while we're in lockdown. At that stage, lockdown hadn't been confirmed, it hadn't been announced, so I was planning ahead. But Aria, she'd been saving her pocket money for ages to buy a second Switch for her. And so
You didn't get the Animal Crossing one, did you?
No, we didn't. We just got one of the Noble Croc little light ones.
Good. You're no part of the problem, you're part of the solution.
just the handheld version, the light. But Flipman, she's been asking and talking about how she's saving up for like 6-7 months now, and then
£20.
She gets it, and she barely touched the damn thing. And I can't for the life of me get her to actually try and play Animal Crossing. I went through like the intro for her with her, and until you can save it for the first time, and she hasn't touched it since.
I'm trying to get my girlfriend to play it, and she's riding The Sims big time. The new Sims 4. She's into it. I got her on the Xbox. And I'm like, it's just like The Sims, but a bit cuter and a bit cuddlier. And, you know what I mean? And she's like, nah, no interest in it. I can't remember. Okay.
Yeah, I might check it on.
You play The Sims.
So yeah. Stuart.
It's good. Yes.
What have you been playing?
Of course. I've been playing real games. Real games! Manly games. Now, if Ying was Animal Crossing, then I'm funneling the Yang camp. I have been playing Doom Eternal, which is a second coming of Christ. They say the end of days, when the end of days draws near, he will appear. And he truly has appeared to rip and tear his way to victory. Yeah, Doom 16, but refined to almost mirror shine.
So the thing I've been hearing, like I've been hearing some people complain about the platforming stuff in Doom Eternal. How are you feeling about that?
Talk to me at Eurogamer last year, and I would have said I hate it. I want it out of the game. It's horrible. It's dreadful. Okay. It's garbage. Talk to me now.
Mm-hmm.
They've tweaked it a lot since that build. I'll give them their due. And I also see the value in having them. So you run into a match, you run into an area, and you'll spend 10-15 minutes battling hordes of demons. That's why I'm the weapons officer, guys, because I make cool sounds when I talk about guns. I pegged that like 20 minutes ago. I'm sitting here going, pew, pew. Weapons officer, definitely. And you'll kill the demons and stuff, and you can do some really cool stuff that we'll no doubt touch on. And then your breather space, or your chance to catch your breath, is the platform and stuff. So originally I was like, oh, fuck, oh, this is killing the pace. But then you're like, oh, wait a minute, this is actually manufactured so I can catch my breath and I can wipe the sweat off my brow, because I can go, okay, calm down. It's all good. We're all good. It's also where there'll be collectibles and stuff as well, so that's kind of, you're not always on it, if you know what I mean. And it's the double dash, air dash stuff can be a bit annoying at times. The climbing stuff's okay, because you auto, instead of having to grab it, in the original build it was you always had to click to grab the wall, which was a nightmare. But now if you just jump at a wall, you just auto grab it, which is great. It takes out one of the movements. But the stuff where you have to dash, so like you'll maybe climb off two walls and then you'll have to hit a bar to swing, and then double dash in midair to hit a tank, which fills your dash, to dash again to get to an edge. And it's no Mario, put it that way. But I can acknowledge appreciate the idea behind having these sections, if you know what I mean. But yeah, it's probably the weakest part of the core gameplay is that stuff. But the shooting and the weapons choices and the monsters and stuff are all top tier. But it's got a story. There's an actual story. but Doom Guy talks, kinda. He's also got a man cave in space, which is awesome, because you keep all your Doomy stuff in there, as you would. You can unlock suits and stuff, so you can actually unlock the original Doom suit for him to wear, which is pretty cool. And there's just loads of different nice wee inside your solitude in space. Your Doom Fortress, odd enough. There's loads of just nice wee nods and Easter eggs and stuff to fans and stuff. And yeah, I like it. You can actually unlock the first game and the first Doom and the second Doom in the actual solitude in the fortress, which is quite fun. And it's just, if you like first person shooters, this is the pinnacle. I believe that. I do. I play a lot of first person shooters, but this is like the pinnacle FPS gaming. It's fast paced. It's calculated. It's as equal parts shooter as it is puzzle solver. I had an argument with my best mate about it, because he doesn't like the rip and tear thing, but the rip and tear thing is key to gameplay, because when you're ripping and tearing, you're thinking 4 or 5 steps ahead of yourself of who you're going to aim, shoot, tear, rip, need ammo, need, do you know what I mean? There's a felicity that comes to it, and when you're running hot, that game keeps up with you. It's not like it'll ever lag, it'll just keep running with you, and that's a rarity in single player campaigns. not so good as the multiplayer, which I hate with a passion, but I was always going to hate the multiplayer with a passion. On paper, great idea. One guy goes to Doomslayer, two guys go demons, and you hunt each other. In reality, the Doomslayer bounces a bit like a bouncy ball, constantly trying to catch his breath, while two guys, his big demons, sit and pound the living daylights out of him. It's just no balanced. Even the best Doomslayer is never going to get the upper hand against two overpowered, superpowered demons that can spawn minions. It's really... I've heard people say it's really good and stuff, but everybody I've heard say it's good always play minions. And demons. And I'm like, well, if you're playing a demon, you're always going to win because there's two of you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's the downside of it, I think. So, the less said about the multiplayer, the better. But if you're looking for a solid campaign that's equal parts challenging, that is enjoyable, then it's definitely worth a look. Two thumbs up.
Cool.
So, yeah. Any news getting Doom?
No.
I probably will at some point. My secret shame is that despite very much liking Doom 2016, I haven't finished it yet. I still need to go back and finish it. But I'm sure I will at some point, and I quite like that game. So,
Other things. Battle Royale finally came to town for COD, which was pretty good. Pretty good.
It's free, isn't it? It's free to play?
Yes. Yeah. Warzone is free on everything. Yeah. Which is quite incredible, because technically you're getting a triple-A game for nothing. Because it is basically the Call of Duty core mechanics built on top of most cool ideas for other Battle Royale games, but some weird decisions as well.
Let's be honest, though. Dubbing selling AAA games without doing any work, any development for a long time now. It's the same game reskinned, so...
Well, this is like when you go to drop, you drop as a team of three, and it comes up saying, I am the squad leader, so I command the squad, right? And you go, oh, so this is like Apex, when I jump, they all jump. No. You're the squad leader, but you don't actually have any... I can't for the love of me figure out what's the point of being the squad leader. Because when you jump, everybody has to jump themselves anyway. So it's kind of like they've went, oh, we'll steal that idea for Apex, but they've went, no, we'll just no do that. But if you're a squad of three, if you all jump at the same time and you do the Apex thing, it would actually work better than having to shout and negotiate while you're parachuting in with your mates where you're going to land, you know?
Yeah, I do like that in Apex.
The shooting in it's really, really tight. It's got the Apex ping system, so you can ping anything. It's not quite as seamless as the Apex system, but it works very well nonetheless. The big game changer I thought on it was in any other Battle Royale, when you get put down, if a teammate doesn't get to you, you're dead. In this, when you get put down, you get sent to the gulag, where you get to make you meet a big Russian called Ivan, who tortures you for 6 weeks solid. You go to the gulag, and then you have a 1v1 fight, basically like gunfight. If you win your gulag fight, you get sent back to the battle, so you drop back in, no harm done. If you lose your gulag fight, you have to wait, and you're not dead yet, because if your teammates are still out there fighting, you collect cash. And what's cash get you? Prizes. So you can use the cash at a shop to purchase a lot of goodies, but you can also buy back your fallen teammates. So you're never truly dead in Warzone. You're always an opportunity to be revived, which is a major game changer. Because I've been brought back at like the 11th hour, and we've went on to do really well, you know what I mean? Problem is, coming back at the 11th hour, you've got zero kit when you land, so you need to be pretty quick on your feet. So that's the biggest thing I think Warzone brings to the party, is that you're never dead, you're just... waiting for an option to come back. The map itself is like a greatest hits of COD, which is great. You can feel yourself running through different maps that aren't even released yet for the game, which is really cool. And you can see that it's like there's parts you'll be like, oh, I remember this, oh, I. Which is a nice thing for a fan to return to. And overall, for a free game that's had 30 million unique players since launch, which was like a week and a bit ago. It's doing pretty damn well, you know. I just hope that, well, Activision seem to be keeping on top of the multiplayer side of COD this year. We've already had a patch tweak to it, but we've also had solo battle royale added, which is great. So originally it was just three squads battle royale and plunder, which is no great. Plunder's a cool idea, first team to hit $1 million wins, but it's like an infinite spawning game, so you never truly die. You get killed, you come back in to get more cash. And then there's also solos, so there's three modes, and then one of them is brand new within the space and now in the launch window. So I think that votes well for the future of the game, that they're always tweaking it. They've also started bleeding in weaponry that's new to the game. In Battle Royale, you can get a drum red magazine which goes boom. That's the sound the grenade launcher makes. The grenade launcher is it's the only place you can get it is in Battle Royale. It's not in the main game. And on one of the trailers, it shows you a guy getting ravaged by an Alsatian. Attack dogs aren't in the main game, so I believe they'll switch an attack dog perk or something on, or maybe even like a support buff or something. Something you'll buy that gives you an Alsatian dog to cover you. So it's quite interesting to see that it's going to be evolving. But that's the key to a good battle royale, is always on top of it changing. Like, just look at Fortnite. Fortnite's brought in helicopters, I believe. I don't know, I'm not a child. So I just don't know. And it's a case of, from what I see, they keep always adding things and doing cross promos and stuff. So yeah, it's pretty good for free. Remember, it's for free. It's probably worth a look if you like Battle Royale, or even if you're just looking for something that's kind of, if you yearn for that COD rush but you don't want to pay £40 for the game, the solid standalone campaign, just download it and play a couple of matches of that, and you'll feel that quality tight gameplay of COD. You know, it's good. It's good.
Cool.
It's good.
I might download it, just give it a go.
I was going to download it, but it's like fucking 86 gigs or some really? Shit. Yeah. And I just like, I don't want to make space on my hard drive.
Might have to actually delete The Witcher.
No.
Yeah.
Finish it first.
I finished the main game. I've got the DLC to still finish. That's why it's still on there.
Huh. Blood and Wine and...
the other one.
I forget what the other one's called. Nah, can't remember the other DLC for The Witcher. Or just Blood and Wine. Other things I've played...
Hearts of Stone was the other one.
That's your boy. Played One Punch Man, A Hero No One Knows. Quite a fitting name, because you play a hero of your own creation. Interesting is the word. Everybody wants to go Saitama and One Punch Man game, but you can't, because One Punch Man finishes everyone in
One Punch. It would be funny if they put him in as a character, but like, to do the One Punch is real hard combination of buttons, and like, you had to get the timing perfect. It would be real funny.
Well, what it does is, you create a character who's a rank C hero, and you need to work up your way up the ladder to rank S hero, and you run parallel to this main story of this series one. It's for the same people who did Jump Force, right? So if you've played Jump Force, you'll have an idea of what to expect. Basically, zero skill combos that make you look cool.
Yep.
But its gimmick is, you have a backup hero, so you can get into a fight with an uber powerful enemy, and then there's a wee screen on screen moment of a hero coming. So, for example, you might start off with Moomin Rider answers the call, and he comes running in on his bike, and he rides in on his bike, and he hits him, and you're like, oh, it's him! He's useless in the show, and he's useless here. But he's funny, so you're like, fair dues. But then Saitama is one, and it's brilliant, because Saitama comes, and the minute he comes, he gets there, and he goes, punch, and it's done, and you're like, that was easy. So, yeah, they don't shy away from the fact that he is One Punch Man. In the game, in the main campaign, it's just a pity you don't get to play as him. So, but ironically enough, you can buy his costume and his actual head. Stay with me on this. You can buy his head to dress your hero up as him.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean? Does it intimidate your opponents?
no, he just looked like him, and it's just weird. It's like, instead of being him, you're, and it's kind of a cool idea, because you could technically create an impersonation. You could name your character like the Satana doppelganger or something, you know what I mean, or the Tritana or something, and you could dress up as him and just run about doing your own combos and stuff like that, and then when you and him meet, you look like a kind of mascot compared to him, who's obviously the real one and stuff. And if you're a fan, there's mileage, there's great mileage in it if you're a fan, but if you're not a fan, it's not quite very hard. It's a bit, I don't know, it's a hard sell. I liked it, but I wasn't fanatical about it. The combos are too easy. The villains aren't particularly well. There's not a great deal of variety between them. It's fun running around their version of the city. So you have this hub city, and you kind of go to different areas. It feels like it's lifted from the series. So you're in the kind of shopping area district thing, talking to people, and then you kind of go to a bit of the city that's been destroyed in monster battles, and it all just kind of. There's a lot of fan service in it. It's nice, if you know what I mean. If you know the series, you know the guys, and you kind of like Silver Fang, you get to meet, and Top Mustache, the guy with the mustache, is in it and stuff. And they're all in it. Tank Top Tiger's in it and stuff. And it's nice. If you like One Punch Man, there's probably enough there to warrant buying it when it's in a sale. But if you're not a One Punch Man fan, just keep on going. So, surely, Charles, you must be a fan of One Punch Man.
Yeah, I do like One Punch Man. It's pretty good. It's very good. But I'm not much of a fighting game person, so I generally avoid them. But I've got a couple recently, which is, surprising.
Well, that's the thing. This isn't really a hard fighter. This is the thing. It's not like you need to be good at fighting games to play this, I feel. I feel it's just a case of, it does a lot of the heavy lifting for you. It's like minimum output, maximum style, is what I would say its mechanic is, you know?
It sounds like it's more of a story-driven game, which is what I'd be more after. I like the stories and the anime stories, so maybe it is worth looking at. But I probably wouldn't bother getting to it, I get it until it goes on special.
But, well, that's what I'm saying. If you get it cheap, it's worth a peek, you know?
Because
the other fun thing as well is, if you play multiplayer or play online, you can play Saitana, but you can set his power rating. So if you play straight up as him, he is One Punch Man, he'll get into a fight with somebody and he'll hit him in one punch and he'll win, but you can bring him down to a mere mortal, which is quite fun.
That is funny.
Doesn't that ruin the point of playing as him if he's not the One Punch Man though?
Yeah, but if you're playing with your mates and you're like, I want to play some,
I suppose.
Yeah. But then you could also do the whole challenge thing. You go him and I'll try and beat you, and you never will beat him because all he knows is one punch. So, but no, it's nice. It's a nice enough wee thing. And like I say, Namco Bandai have brought out quite a few games. They've brought out that, a new My Hero Academia thing as well, and this week there was a new One Piece game come out. So there's quite a lot of manga-inspired licensed titles coming out of Namco Bandai, at least in the UK, in the recent, 2-3 weeks window.
Yeah.
But out of them, the One Punch Man one. Well, tell you, it all started with Dragon Ball Kakarot was the kind of catalyst. So we've had that. We've got the new, and then we've got the three other titles. So yeah, there's if you're into that kind of stuff, there's plenty to get your teeth stuck into, you know what I mean? So
yep. Well, I might as well segue to My Hero One's Justice 2. It's a weird name because I picked that one up. I wasn't going to. Like, it was one of my panic buys after watching the movie. I watched the recent My Hero Academia movie.
Did you see it in theaters?
Yes.
Well, actually, that's an interesting question before we get into this. What's the last movie everybody saw in the theater?
This. My Hero Academia one.
Boom. Bum, bum, bum. Last film I saw in the cinema. Come back to me. I'll think.
But mine was Bloodshot starring Vin Diesel.
Oh.
Which is a profoundly mediocre movie, but it was pretty fun.
I say it looks good, but I like the comic. I've read an issue.
Okay. See, I didn't even know it was comic-based until after I was interested in seeing the movie. But the thing is that I will pretty much watch anything that has Vin Diesel in it, so...
Nice. But yeah, I really, really liked the My Hero Academia...
I think Endgame, Endgame was probably the last thing I saw in the cinema.
That was ages
ago. So you haven't been stopped from going to the cinema by the COVID-19?
Well, if it stops me from seeing Top Gun 2 or Top Gun 2's delayed, I will rage. I will be up for murder. I swear to God. I'm seeing Top Gun 2 on day one, but more than that later.
Charles, please continue.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. I love the series, and the movie was better than this current season.
Were you the only normal person in the hall? I've heard rumours of people going to see this, and it just being loads of wee... I don't know what they call it, Weebos or Weebies.
Weebos,
or
yes.
Or whatever.
I don't know if that's like necessarily the term the world over, but definitely is in America.
Yeah, it's like the guy. One of the guys I know went and he just put on Twitter and he went, I was the only one that wasn't a love pillow holder. And I just went, oh, it reminded me of a time I went to see Ghost in the Shell 2 Innocence in the cinema, and I was the only non-Asian person in the cinema in Glasgow, which is an incredible feat. You know what I mean? It's like one of those few times I actually went to the cinema alone, because nobody I knew wanted to see a dubbed Japanese movie. And it was just the weirdest thing, being like the only non person of the Orient in the cinema, and you're like, oh dear.
Yeah, there are definitely some anime fans out there in the audience, but me and Odin went with my brother-in-law, and he hasn't watched any of it. He doesn't really watch cartoons much. I got him into One Punch Man like a year or so ago, and so he's going to watch the series now because he enjoyed the movie of My Hero Academia. But yeah, the movie is fantastic. It's really, really good. Really good use of all the characters from the class. And so the very next day, the game came out, so I bought that in Neo 2. And it basically retells the second half of the series that's out so far, the main story.
It's a sequel to the game, isn't it? Because I saw that the first game based on it was like on sale on Xbox.
Yeah, it's dirt cheap now. Yeah, so it's a sequel. The first game, I never bothered playing that because, again, I don't play fighting games much, and so I tend not to play them. But I believe the first game will be very similar in the way it tells a story, and it's like kind of comic book-y with voice acting for like cutscenes, and then you fight or two for each chapter. And so this one's starting, I think it's the start of around the season 3 time. Like halfway through the series that's out now, and you just play through it. And then some chapters are just you watch, and some chapters you fight. But then there's obviously you can fight online, you can fight, me and Odin being fighting against each other mostly. And then there's this weird mission-based thing where you make your own hero agency. And it actually fights like the story from Dragon Ball FighterZ, where you have like, you see the enemies are on a little map, and you've got to choose which order you fight them in by moving around. And I think in Dragon Ball FighterZ, it was that you only had so many moves, like turns, so you had to choose carefully how you move so you didn't run out of chances to fight everybody. In this, if you take too long and go the wrong order, the villains will destroy the location they're in, and so you've got to do the right order so they don't destroy the city, basically. So there's variety in the gameplay. The combat, it's like you said, it's very simple. With One Punch Man, it's like you just push buttons and you do combos, and there's very limited moves. Like,
you look cool,
but yeah, that's why I want to play it. Like, I want to look like Deku, and I want to look like All Might. So like, it's very simple to play. I think it'd be kind of hard to master and get really good at it and be competitive with it, but it's weird. It's, you know, most fighters, they're either 3D or they're like fake 3D or 2D, where you're side by like facing each other. This is the camera, so you're playing two player, but the camera will be favoring one player, so you could be in the distance, like the depth of the screen. I don't know how to describe it. So you're like down the back of the screen, and it will switch around. Like, it's real strange how it does it. It's, you got to kind of, that's part of the challenge to fighting, is working out how to move in that different space. Like, I don't know. It just looks way different than any other fighter I've played.
I think the thing is well, is we're at this point now where, like, all these kind of anime-inspired games are at the point where the line between what's a show and what's visible in a game is very much blurred, you know? As I was saying with, like Kakarot and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, the Dragon Ball Z games are almost pin-perfect to the animation now, in, like, scary ways, because there was the whole people marrying up the Kakarot action to the actual series, and other than a few frame moments and so forth, they were almost mirror perfect and stuff. So it's pretty interesting, you know.
Yeah,
and I think that's good for fans, you know what I mean. Plus, I think the argument as well is for, like, a wider audience, people who maybe know be interested in these things, they might take a punt on the game, you know.
Yep. Oh, well, I got back into continue playing Dragon Ball Z Kakarot yesterday and played it for a good 6 hours, and I love it, just being able to relive the stories of the series in the world. So I'm still really enjoying that game too.
Yeah.
Sorry, I took over your section, Stuart. Do you have any other games to talk about?
No, it's fine. You can destroy my stuff. Fine. The only thing I had left was just a dust on a couple of small bits and pieces. I've had a go at Bleeding Edge. I've had a go at two Microsoft exclusives. One incredibly good over one. it's Crackdown 3 again. Ori and the Will of the Wisps, to start with, is an incredible game. It's amazing. It's stunning. It tells a touching story. If you like Metroidvanias, there's about 8-9 hours worth of gameplay in it. If you've got an Xbox Game Pass, get it downloaded and played. Get Ori and the Blind Forest downloaded as well first. But Will and the Wisps takes the core ideas of the Blind Forest and ups the ante. It also pulls in quite a few elements of that genre. It's an interesting thing. Between now and then, it's fed off how the development of other games have been and the kind of staples and the standards we expect to see in these kind of games. You can feel it pulling inspiration for the general quality of life changes and stuff and that. But yeah, it's a stunning, amazing game with an amazing, stunning soundtrack, and I cannot praise it enough. Probably the best Xbox exclusive in years.
The only exclusive in years.
Well, the flip side is the other exclusive I played was Bleeding Edge, and bloody, that game's gash. Nah, it's rare I find a game that's squad-based that demands four players, with constant communications. That game, you cannot play unless you have four people in your chat party, and you know each other, and you know how each other plays, and as the sign says on the wall, know your role. I play a damage dealer, my best mate plays a healer, the other guy we play a damage dealer, and the third guy plays a tank / healer, dependent on the situation, because if a team's rolling a tank and two healers, you're as well just heading and getting the bus home. It's really, there's no much room for error, shall we say. It's very light, like, it's like stick figure thin. It's like there's two modes. There's capture and hold, which sees points on a map appear, 3 points on the map. Each one unlocks in a different order. You have to fight to the point, capture the point, earn time. Domination by any other name. And the other one is capture and retrieve, which is basically there are tanks which contain energy. Destroy the tanks, get the energy, get to the point, deposit your points in the bank, win the game with the most things. Maps, there's a fine selection of maps. Heroes, it's very light, but they are very interesting. There's some really interesting designs on show. Interesting in theory as well, the story, the background, and so forth. In the future, body modification is cybernetic. It's cyberpunk, basically. People are genetically, cyberotically modding themselves. So the healer my mate plays is a robotic snake that basically has wrapped himself around a cadaver. So the body is a dead, rotten man, but the snake's actually the player. It's an interesting idea. And there's a woman that's melded herself on a motorbike. So yeah, it's weird. I played the beta and I wasn't a big fan yet, but once we played it with the four of us and we've clicked with it, it's okay, but it's very lightweight, especially for Ninja Fury. You know, Ninja Fury's a kind of gold top developer, I would say, having had Hellblade and stuff like that, like DMC as well, under their belt. I can expect a kind of quality product, but it just feels very light in content. For it being an Xbox Live Game Pass game as well, very few people I find on my friends list are engaging in it. I think we've sent it out. They've sent it out there to die. There was no real any buzz behind it. There's been no whoopering and hollering. It came out a week after Warzone. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, we're as well just hammering the nails in the box and putting it in the ground, you know? I hope they support it. I hope it grows. There is a core of interestingness there, but I just don't know if it'll survive. I really don't know. And with it being a Microsoft exclusive again, it ain't going to sell systems.
Nope.
I know it's only £20, £25 to buy if you buy it, but even then, it should maybe have been a free to play. It feels like a free to play in some respects as well. So, aimed for Overwatch, just couldn't get there.
Yep. It looks exactly like all the other ones that have gone dead in the water.
It's an interesting thing. It's like, it's just come out at the wrong time, I think. And I just think it feels like it's been half-baked, which is a bit sad, you know. The only other thing I've been playing is 6 Months Simulator. Divisions Warlords in New York DLC. That's trippy. On a personal level, it's really trippy playing The Division and then coming down and watching the news and going to myself,
yeah.
See if the death rate of this virus was actually higher, we would be in pure Division country.
New York's looking pretty scary right now. That seems to be one of the worst spots in the US.
It's really weird because New York's ground zero in America, isn't it? It's like, it's where it happened. And now I'm running about the streets of New York shooting bin men with flamethrowers.
Yeah, a little too close to home.
Early days. Yeah, it's really weird. Early days, and I'm finding myself on a mental level having to play it and then stop and then come back to it and play it and stop, or else the lines get blurred. In short, the agent that did you over in the first game, who you were tracking in the other DLC, is now your target in New York. You've went back to the Big Apple, and he's got a bunch of lieutenants who now run the right. Well, one of them's like the Rikers. Rikers are the prisoner gang. So one of them runs them, one of them runs the cleaners, and they're all different. So there's like a tech guy, a sniper guy, a heavy guy. We've all been there, and it's your job to clean house and get back to them. If you like The Division, it's more of the same. It's nice to be back in the Big Apple. Just a bit of pig is when you go to do it, you will not be able to return to Washington until you do the whole story mode, which is about a pig, which is, I know, it's like, well, but yeah, so you're in New York till you finish it, basically, and then you're able to travel freely between New York and Washington. That's great. But until you've brought justice to the man that wants to release an even more dead war version of the smallpox virus called Corona. called smallpox, something or other, into the world. You're basically there. And I'm enjoying it so far, but it is a bit kind of, you're kind of looking through the looking glass a little bit playing it, I feel. And it is quite, I don't know, there's just weirdness about it. Because I was lucky enough to interview one of the developers, and they were saying, like, if the original concept of the Division was to happen, it would take 7 days for basically civilization to crumble. And thinking back about what he was saying about how airlines would transmit the disease and how governments would, basically what happens is, it's terrifying when you think about it, because the guy was like, what'll happen is the health system will not be able to cope, and it'll buckle, and when it buckles, anarchy starts to reign, because there's no way, like, martial law will come in, and blah, 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 and oh, dear, no, it's like, oh my God, I can't, what, no, I want to wake up, and then you look at the TV, and you're like, no, and then, oddly enough, I bought myself a Division hoodie, because Those lines are blurred, gentlemen. They are blurred.
Yeah, it's a little too close to home. This is my brother. I was messaging my brother, and he's like, yeah, he's going to pull out Pandemic, the board game, to play. I'm like, no. A little too real.
Did you guys see that Madagascar's like shut down their borders like super early on?
Save the turtles. Save the turtles.
It was very, very hilariously related to Pandemic or Plague Inc. or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, did you see that Plague Inc.'s announced that they're going to donate cash to the fund, but they're also switching the goal? So instead of being three deadly diseases trying to just slay mankind, you're now going to try and save mankind from three deadly diseases. It's a noble thing, but it's a bit late in the day. If you can play The Division anew and detach your brain and just think of it as a shooter, then you'll have a great time with it. But it just, there's just bits in it that twang that bit in your head, and you're like, yeah, I need to put this down and go and rip and tear some demons, and then you're in Doom and Hell on Earth, and you're going,
time for Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I wonder if that's... Well, that's the thing. Most Animal Crossing's cute and furry, whereas in Doom, you're in what's remained of, you're remained of the Earth. Like, you're kind of going, I wonder if that's what's going to happen in 2 years' time. I wonder. I went through a really dark stage in the last couple of weeks, guys, playing certain games. So, yeah. As he sat and fought a man to death on a roof at a hospital for a syringe to heal himself in COD. It's all linked! It's all linked!
It is. Very dark.
It's like, COD's got this poisonous gas trying to kill you. Oh, no. Oh, dear. That got dark really quick.
Yep, you need to play some heavy games.
Yeah, that's why Animal Crossing's keeping me going.
That's why Animal Crossing.
Oh, still though.
That's why Animal Crossing's a thing. Although, I'm really excited because it's a difficult position now because I saw the mini Direct. There was a mini Nintendo Direct this week and Panzer Dragoon Remake was released on the Switch, but it's also coming to other consoles. It's time exclusive for the Switch. So I'm kind of like, do I pull the trigger and buy it on the Switch, or do I wait and get it on the Xbox? And I'm kind of like, I kind of want it on the Xbox, but I really want to play it the new. It's like, oh.
Good.
Really like Panzer Dragoon.
There
so.
You go.
Yeah.
Although Animal Crossing's a little dark. You start off, and it's like, you are in debt.
Tom Nook's basically a loan shark, and he will break your legs. Do you know what I mean? See that bird that's down on the beach, face down? Who do you think put him there?
Pay for his.
They two wee kids that Tom Nook's got, Timmy and Tommy, or whatever they're called. It's like, I'm going to come and take your legs if you can't pay me back the bells. No. Wake up one day and your house is on fire, and Tom Nook's just standing outside it with a hatchet. All right.
Yes, even that's dark. Well, I've been playing recently, I already talked about My Hero 1's Justice 2 game.
I like how that title's got 1 and 2 in it. It's really challenging but entertaining.
Well, it's My Hero 1's Justice, so it's possessive. It's that one person's justice that they're going to enforce on the rest of the world.
Twice.
For the second time.
Yeah, because the first time didn't quite finish the job.
But yeah, Final Fantasy VII Remake demo. It was good. I'm really excited.
It was quite good. I enjoyed playing it.
Short and sweet is the words I would use.
Like, it made me buy the original and fire that up and show Odin what that intro was like on the original.
Would you buy it on?
PlayStation.
Oh, I thought you would have been well carded. I don't know if it's on the Switch. I know it's on the Xbox. But
yeah, it is on Switch as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you would have been well carded there and did the Switch version then. See, like I like how I backpedaled there if the statement was correct.
I think it was cheaper on the PlayStation. It was on special for like $10 or something. So,
looks good, doesn't it?
It looks
promising. Everybody's saying, but everybody's kind of like, oh, but like, how much of the game's going to actually be there, or is it going to be done in like two? I imagine
it'll be all of Midgar. I imagine, yeah, there'll be this first one will end at Midgar.
And I think they'll be putting in, like...
I think...
I may be playing another game just now, which is a remake, but it may contain new content. Resident Evil 3. And you're kind of like, if that did it, and Resident Evil 2 also did it, but Resident Evil 3 is the hot jam. More on that later.
Oh, yeah, I played Resident Evil 3 too.
It's
going to be more fleshed out.
There'll be new sections in it, I think. I think they'll put new content in it.
Oh, heck yeah.
I think that... that's new, you know, and I think a lot of people are kind of not seeing that point. They're kind of blinded by the kind of, they're scared what the kind of length of it, and then the weight. That's a lot of things as well. Is a lot of people are scared of the weight between the game lateral, because obviously it's episodic in it, and they're kind of like, when are we going to get the next one after it, you know?
I'm hoping they're keeping that quiet, and they're going to surprise us and be quite quick after, and that's why it's taken so long.
It could have been done live on E3 this year. Could have come out and went, see episode 2, it's available now!
That would be awesome. But yeah, I really like the demo. I really like the combat, how it's held true to the original turn, but active turn base that they introduced with 7, but done in a completely new way. Like, it's like the actual fighting, the action RPG element of it now is just basically you waiting to do your normal turns that you would have done in the turn based, if that makes sense. And I really like that, how it seems so obvious, but it's really clever. Because the fact of you actually standing and waiting for your enemy to take a turn, then you take a turn, doesn't make sense at combat. So this is just actionified that concept. And yeah, it played really well. I really liked it. Way better combat than Final Fantasy XV. And I really like that there's going to be more to do with some of the sub characters, like Jesse and Biggs and Wedge and stuff. Like, it's...
So here's the thing that I don't remember from the original game, because it's been a long time since I've played it. Was Jesse that horny for Cloud in the original?
Yeah, that was good. I loved that.
Because she hilarious. Is like mad, like she's got a mad white on for him.
Yeah, I know. It's I was wild. Loving that. It was hilarious. He's like, oh, he's got nice eyes. I really enjoyed that. I don't think it was as direct. And same with Barrett. I was surprised. Barrett is just completely not interested in Cloud in this remake. Intro, whereas,
well, I remember Barrett being a dick until after, like, Cloud proves himself, basically.
Oh yeah, he was a dick, but he was way more snarky in the remake. I played the remake and was like, oh, it's exactly how it was in the original. But you go through with the original and the dialogue's way simplified.
There was also like a really questionable translation, right? So
this is true. And
was hindered by the PlayStation's inability to display large amounts of text.
True. So, like, yeah, so there was a lot more snarkiness from Barrett, which I kind of enjoyed. Like, it fit the character and kind of presented it better. And yeah, I dug it. And I really liked how they did one-for-one, like, shot remakes of, like, which were fancy graphics. I thought it was really cool.
There's a Tim Rogers has a video where he does has a series of videos where he does a replay of Final Fantasy VII in Japanese and like does like he like translates it in the process,
okay,
like himself, to give a more like quote unquote accurate translation or whatever. It's quite interesting, like some of the stuff that you see in that compared to what it ended up actually being.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, but yeah, I liked it. It was really good, and I'm looking forward to it. The really downside is that we're in lockdown, and I can't get my copy anymore.
Well, Square have said that there might be a shortage or a limitation to physical discs.
Yeah, because everyone's buying
it. Because the shenanigans, the printing, whatever they're getting printed and stuff, is affected by this, so they're kind of like saying most people should be buying it on... online.
Well, that's what
online, digital. On stores.
Well, that's what's frustrating me, because I've pre-ordered my physical. I can't get that copy anymore because delivery's not happening.
This is why you buy digital copies,
man. Yeah, I'm getting to that. Digital costs $20 more than physical, and it pisses me off.
Oh my god.
Well, they've got to keep the lights on and the staff paid, and I mean, digital bricks and mortar. So what about that, you know?
It just drives me crazy. We just get gouged on digital, and that's one of the reasons I don't. And that's really bugging me. I'm at the point I want to start a petition to Sony, PlayStation New Zealand to revisit their prices. Because digital games always $10, $15, $20 more than the physical copies on release. And it's not fair. It's ridiculous. So I'm gutted. I'll still get it. Yeah. I'll still get it because I've been dying to play this. Man, at the end of Crisis Core, I was like, oh, they're remaking 7, because they had like the intro of 7 like happen at the end. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, I was like wiping tears out of my eyes because, spoiler, Zach died. and And I was like, that's the only game that's really made me sad and cry. It's like Final Fantasy Crisis Core. And I was like, to my brother, they're going to remake it. And then they didn't. And then they finally are. And so I'm super excited for this. And the other beef or axe I've got to grind is, man, they got these exclusive things in America to get, like, you buy Butterfingers or something, and you get, like, DLC content for the game only available in America.
So what you're saying is you need me to go buy some Butterfingers?
I've already got someone on it. But if you want to buy
some... I don't even know, like, I haven't been to a gas station in forever for... you know, to go inside the gas station beyond just, like, getting gas. So I have no idea, like, where I even get these Butterfingers.
Well, yeah, a friend of the show, Savai, he's actually living in New Zealand, and he's just moved back to America like 2 months ago, and he's been sending me the codes, but I have no idea if they'll work until the game comes out, because it may be tied to the American PSN store.
Yeah,
the code. So we'll see. But I'm super excited. And
yeah, so I remember that I tried to give you that Destiny code.
Yeah, that didn't
for the DLC, and that didn't work.
Yeah. Yes, so we'll see. But yeah, love the demo. Looking forward to the game. The other demo I played was Resident Evil 3. It was also very good. And again, that's out next week, and the digital is $15 more than the physical. So, yay, we're spending more money.
If only you had a PC.
It's good.
Yeah, it was a good demo.
Yeah, I ended up not playing the demo of that because I'm ready enough for the game to be here. So
we'll see.
I figured I'd just wait.
I'm waiting.
Nemesis is a bloody pig, but I'm telling you that right now.
I believe it.
He'd be fast.
Someone's already changed him into Thomas the Tank Engine.
That's what matters. That's what matters.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm thinking I might just wait because the Resident Evil 2, like, the price dropped like $30 within a few weeks. So I think I might wait until after lockdown and just pick it up then, because I've got plenty to play right now.
That's madness. After lockdown, come on.
You know, yeah. I'll probably will.
There's no after lockdown.
Yeah, there might not be work after
lockdown.
Yeah,
this is our new life, Charles.
There may not be any work after this, so I don't got to save my money. Yeah, we'll see. I'll probably get it. You know me. Yeah, so the other panic buy I got was Neo 2.
The sequel to Neo?
Yes, I wasn't going to get it because I played the demo. I enjoyed it enough, found it kind of a little too hard, the boss, and was kind of like, yeah, I've played it. I've seen what they've changed. I don't think I'll get the game. It was really easy to just ignore it just because there's only so many games
really,
I can play.
We really should have put a jingle in there because this is us back to source, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But I got it and I'm really enjoying it. I'm finding it a lot easier than the first one. I did enjoy the first one, but it was really, really hard. This have kind of given you...
See, I never played...
You never played it?
I never played the first one.
Yeah. They've kind of given you a few more tools to deal with, like, the hard stuff. And maybe I've just been more clever in my build, where I've just kind of really focused very specifically on what I want to do. And I've stopped using katana, even though I love katanas. And I've gone the spear. And I'm just enjoying the extra reach I have with it. And the yokai abilities, the fact that you can shift into a yokai is giving you just an extra tool to deal with the big enemies. And deal damage or stop them from doing damage to you is really, really powerful. And like I had a hard time with the beta boss. It was like this ferret thing that threw like ear blades at you, giant ferret. And it was really hard. I couldn't do it. Like, I found a real hard time fighting it. Whereas I beat it my first go when I got to that level in the main game because I'd created my character. And whereas in the demo, you didn't have time to spec right or really level up in the way you'd want. And so in this, I was leveled appropriately. I had my strategies I was using in combat, and I actually beat it the first go, even though I had forgotten the timings of his attacks and was getting hit left, right, and center. I still managed to get through and stumble my way through and beat this boss. Yeah, really, really enjoying it. Odin's got into it. Only thing I regret is I didn't buy it digital because we could be co-oping, but we can't because it's physical. So, yeah, Odin's, like, mad because I keep taking the disc off him so I can play. But to be fair, he played all day yesterday and I played Kakarot, so I did let him play for a while. And, yeah, it's a really good game. I really like it. And, yeah, I've been saying this since Nioh 1. It's not really Souls-like. It kind of looks at that at the surface. It's a lot more action-y than a Souls game. Like, there are a lot more combos and special abilities that you get, which just aren't in Souls. It's the camera angle and the targeting is really where it stops being a Souls game. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And yes, there are other mechanics like Souls, like you go recollect your dead body and get your Amarita back. Not Souls, even though I just call it Souls still because it's easier.
Not Souls. Never Souls.
Never Souls. But yeah, it's really not a Souls game. And if you play it like a Souls game, you're going to have a way harder time. It does play very different. It's a lot, yeah. Yeah, I like it. Nioh 2 is really, really good. I'm really, really enjoying it. And I'm glad I did pick it up.
I played the demo of Nioh 1, and that was all I needed out of Nioh, I think.
Wouldn't you love it because it's got loot? That's the thing I don't like about it. It's a loot game.
I don't just like games because they have loot.
Don't lie. Don't lie to me.
I like Destiny because it has loot.
You must like real world simulator.
Actually, that's not
2.
Even like why I like Destiny.
Don't even lie. Yeah.
Division 2's got loot. Warzone's got loot.
I did buy Division 2 on the Epic Game Store when it was $3, but I haven't.
Actually, I might look and see what that price is on PSN.
Install it.
That could be fun to play co-op with Odin, because I want more games to co-op with him over this lockdown.
Nioh 2 is brutal, painful, and it hurt. Great game.
As I say, it's still very brutal, and you can die very easily, but they've given you more tools to deal with it.
I think you're very well... This possibly why we changed tack, but you're very much versed in that world, whereas I'm more like
a shooter.
Weekend warrior in that world, so I'm no particularly built for that whole waiting... Yeah, I know, you know what I mean? It's kind of like... The Surge 2 is kind of like... The Surge is combat, I kind of get my head around because I'm a big mama robot thing, but when you're swords against monsters, it's just like that... There's a bit in my brain that's like, where's the pew-pew? Like, I don't know. How does that work? I don't know.
Listen, that's what I've done with this build. I've gone ninja build, and I'm using the spear, and the stats look like Souls, like RPG stats, but they're actually a lot different. Like, the different stats will be tied to actual weapon type, like, more directly, whereas in Souls, it's kind of dexterity strength. It's kind of your two main things. Whereas this, like, doing... is it courage? One of the stats, which actually boosts your hit points, is tied directly to upgrading your damage you do for your spear. And so I have really high hit points and really high damage for my spear, but then my other stat, all I've done is my dexterity, which is tied to your ninja abilities. And so I've got shurikens, and they do as much as I do with my sword. Well, my spear. Hit with my spear does as much damage as a shuriken. And so I'm... In the first one, I just didn't bother with any of those ninja tools because they didn't feel worthwhile, but I probably wasn't leveling it right, whereas I've just specced directly to dexterity, and I'm just throwing ninja stars at things and, like, taking dudes' heads off with ninja stars, and it's great.
What do you think the move away from being an Irishman to being your own custom-built guy? Obviously, I have never played the first game. I don't really have an angle on that. But
well, that's...
I thought it was quite an interesting idea.
I did like the story of that because, like, that foreigner out, kind of fish out of water kind of thing. I kind of really liked the feel of that. I think it's great for... I don't really mind. I don't mind having a playable character, and I also don't mind having... I'm not as fussed, whereas I know a lot of people love the ability to create character, and being able to do that...
Character creating, and it's amazing, but, like, as a thing, it's absolutely... Like, I've played a lot of games where you can build a character. You can spend... hours building a guy, and the thing is, it looks good 99% of the time, you know what I mean? It's really good character creator.
Yeah, it is really good, and there's lots of presets for lots of different races, so it's really for people who want to cosplay in a game or create their own version of themselves in the game, there is ability to do that, and so for representation and diversity, I think it's good, but I just went with a Japanese lady, like I didn't really I'd never spend time in creators.
Cookie cutter option A.
Yeah, I like the idea of the creators, but I can never. I go to start creating something, I'm like, no, I just want to slice some yokai art in half. So I just go like, that'll do, and I get in the game. I put a fish tattoo on my back. That's all I did.
And you will never see it because you're always armored up.
You get to go to the hot springs.
Yeah.
And you sit down and you get naked for like 3 seconds. And so I see my tattoo. It is funny.
Always go with a scar on the face. Always like a wee scar.
Yeah, my son
did
that.
It's always.
It's funny though because I was watching my son play last night and he's like. And he's been getting through. He's getting better, but he summons help to help him get through a lot of it. And I have for a couple of bosses as well because they're a bit tough. And he's like, every time I find a hot spring, I always have a female companion helping me. And I thought it was quite funny that he commented on that. yeah.
Well, it's the kind of world we live in.
Yep.
See when we're at that picture house. See all the guys. They're probably the guys at the hot spring. Don't worry, you'll be fine.
But yeah, that's a good game. I really like it. You should get it. Brian, you should get it, and we can co-op.
Yeah, maybe I will. I don't know. No promises.
I've been playing with Sentinel Plus a little bit with Dave.
Nice.
Which is lots of fun. The online works better in this than in the first one as well. Yeah, I think that's wraps it up for my games I've been playing.
All right. Well, we'll move on to the question that we asked the fine folks.
What is written next to the spell Sectum Sempra in Harry Potter's potion book?
Oh, fuck.
And what did people,
for enemies
and what
only?
Did people email in? And what did people say on Twitter when we asked them that?
For enemies, you're right. We're close enough, Brian.
Okay.
Well done. So, yeah, back to the question at hand. We asked you lovely folks at home what you're playing while you're in lockdown.
Yeah.
So I'll start and so, just alternate.
Okay. Yep.
So from a friend of the show, Dex at 99 Dexterity, been replaying Nioh, the first one, which I still feel is a bit ridiculous and too difficult at times, but I'm using magic build and that makes the game super easy, so it's all good.
You're bringing shame upon your family by not using a Dexterity build, John.
Yes.
Also, why aren't you playing Nioh 2? Come on.
Yeah, you gotta
co op with Charles.
Yep, come co op with me.
Okay, I'll read Because Gaming at Scribbles Me Down. I think almost everybody is following us over from Dark Insight, which is good. It's nice to see those familiar faces. And she says, felt like an old comforting light mac and cheese style game. So I'm assuming like a comfort food, basically. Mm-hmm. So picked up Borderlands Game of the Year Edition on Game Pass, and it's been a delight. And invites anyone listening or us, I don't play Borderlands, but if other people do, to join her. She's level 30, currently hanging out in Old Haven on Xbox One. So go play some Borderlands. I'm not going to do that, but other people can. Nothing against Therese, I believe is her name, but something against Borderlands. Fuck Borderlands.
We've got one Borderlands hater, we've got one Xbox hater. You know what I mean?
guess it's you, Stuart. You got to be the one.
I'm playing Borderlands 3's got new DLC coming out, actually.
Yeah. Something with tentacles in it, apparently.
Yeah, tentacle. No, is it Love in a Tentacle Space or something? Or
yeah, it's horrifying.
It's about the wedding, the Lockhart and the guy. It's a guy wedding. it's weird. It's a wedding. It's a wedding between two guys. It's a guy wedding.
Yeah, Borderlands is weird. It's fun enough. I'd play it if I had it on Xbox.
Just Borderlands. Randy Pitchford. Enough said. Creepy magician. Creepy magician, people. Creepy uncle, more like.
Stuart, you're up.
I don't like pronouncing people's names. Fuck up.
Ryan McDivitt.
McDivitt. Ryan McDivitt.
That's a Scottish name if I've ever seen one. You should better say it.
I was going to say, McDivitt sounds like something you do with a golf club. What's that there?
McDivitt.
That's a McDivitt. Sorry, that's totally sorry, mate. Sorry, he's gonna come after me with a division style.
Well, not only him, the other four or three Ryan McDivitts are gonna come after you too.
How do you know there's not a five and a six? How do you know there's not a five and a six?
Well, we know there's at least four.
Exactly.
And they're all on the same continent. Yes, they are.
They're gonna get you.
Look away, there's a lockdown on. You're safe. Plus, we're in space. We're extra safe.
Exactly.
Anyway, back to what he said. All of them. Finally, time to make it happen.
Good luck. I wish you well on this quest because I was like, oh, maybe I'll get caught up on some TV shows and stuff while I'm on lockdown. Nope, just playing Destiny.
I have found it funny, all like the memes and jokes about how all like the gamer dads are coming back, like all the OG gamers, watch out, kids. OG gamers are logging on.
Well, what do you call it? It's interesting to know because tell the story in two parts. Netflix and Amazon have said they will not be streaming HD content during the apocalypse.
Yeah, I heard that. That's over in the UK though, right? Like that hasn't hit us yet.
I don't know if you guys have got it, but also PSN.
Yep, I did see that they're slowing down their network speeds, which is hilarious because they're already super slow.
And Xbox has been running on hopes and prayers because at least four times last week, it's either, doesn't it work? Chat parties don't work. Friends list don't. There's always something not working on it.
Yeah, we've always known that it's held together by sellotape and bubblegum.
Any more than three people in and it doesn't work.
I haven't had any trouble with chat on PSN yet.
But you can't download the game.
I haven't tried.
Yeah.
I haven't tried yet, though. And me, back, this is Andrew Rogers at Angry Magno X.
Magnox.
Okay. Dark Souls and The Witcher 3. Good choices.
Yeah, very good choices. I also put this question out to a couple Discords that I'm on, and the unanimous answer from pretty much all of them was Animal Crossing.
I have had a large jump of friend requests on the Nintendo from Twitter friends who are playing Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Said like somebody's old da on the Nintendo. I'm going on the Googles to see about the news. Don't worry, I'm going on the YouTubes to watch the Googles. Well done. Okay, old timer, you do that, you tell me.
I am old. I am getting old.
Stuart, before we wrap up, you have a podcast you want to shout out for us?
Yes, friends of the show. I've always wanted to say that. Friends of the show over at the Seal Podcast gave us a bit of support. They saw we were but a fledgling space shuttle in space, floating into the abyss. They gave us a wee shout out, and Fraser actually kind of poses a wee question. He was wondering what our gaming past is, bearing in mind we're 2 hours 15 deep.
Yeah, we'd have to go too deep on this.
So, a light brushing, if you fancy, gents, of your gaming past from three major moments. There you go, three major.
Well,
five,
I was actually just going to tell the story of I have a good one for this. That I don't think I've told on a podcast before is that I learned how to read when I was like 3 years old, and that was because my stepfather was playing Dragon Warrior, and it really frustrated me that I couldn't read what was going on in that game, so I couldn't play it. So I taught myself to read when I was super young so that I could play Dragon Warrior, and that's led to the person that I am today.
No regrets.
No regrets, just, you know, that gif.
He just reads in the old English.
Charles, what about you?
Yeah, I started young. I'm one of nine kids.
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
I'm number eight. I'm the youngest boy. I've got a little sister. And so from a very, very young age, I was playing like Amiga and Commodore 64, like Giana Sisters when I was probably five or so.
Oh, incredible.
Like, yeah, the Mario ripoff.
Yeah. Did you ever play the modern version of that?
Yeah, I couldn't get into it. It wasn't the same. I was like, oh yeah, man, nostalgia.
It wasn't very good.
But then I was just like, nah, this is boring. The original was great. Because it's like exactly like Mario. You break bricks with your spiky hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I started very, very young and kind of went from there. The neighbor had, like, we went Mega Drive, neighbor had Nintendo, so, like, Link to the Past and stuff was some of the early games.
You were never out of the house?
Not really. We lived like, what we call near town belt. I don't know if you guys know what that term means. It's like council land. And so we had bush surrounding our house.
I know what a green belt is.
Huh?
But I don't know what the... I know what a green belt is.
Yeah, it'd be very similar. Town belt is what we call it. But yeah, it's like council land. Like, it's all like bush and stuff. So we were surrounded by that. Well, like behind us. And so either we were playing games or out in the bush making swords and fighting.
Dodging snakes and spiders.
New Zealand doesn't have that stuff.
Dingoes and coyotes.
Yeah, don't have
vultures.
New Zealand's like the safest place in the world for wildlife. We have kiwis. That's about it.
Those little birds ain't going to kill us. Yeah, but you get 29 of them in a box, they'll come for you. They've not got wings. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't think I've even seen a kiwi in my life. Anyway, but yeah, so video games were a big part of my growing
You've
up.
You've never seen a kiwi in your
I
life?
I think so.
That's a statement right there.
The ore.
Do you even New Zealand?
They're like really endangered and you don't see them in the wild, and in captivity they sleep during the day, so you just don't see them.
They're a myth.
They probably are.
Urban legend.
They probably are. But yeah, so yeah, gaming, this was always just a part of what I did. Like, I just say, like, having older brothers, they introduced things to me, so a lot of what I liked was what they liked, and what they found. And so I went from there, and it's just always been, that's why JRPGs were like a thing of, in my childhood, Final Fantasy, Xenogears, Secret of Mana, Zelda were all the games I played as a kid. And next week we can talk about our gaming future. Since we talk about our past. Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, what about you?
There's a picture of me 6 months old in front of a Spectrum. Been propped up by pillows. How I get into gaming is an interesting story. I went to school, came home from school, went to this legendary, my mother tells it well. Came home from school and said, all the kids at school have got a Mega Drive. And I whined and bitched for about 2 weeks. And then my mum and dad went and got me a Master System, which always second fiddle. Got me a Master System. And then my mum went to school and said to them, yeah, so, yeah, we just got a short Master System. Yeah, he says, you have all got Mega Drives. And they're like, nah. And, like, none of them had games consoles. And I ended up getting a Mega Drive. And from there, it was like a junkie on heroin. I was hooked. Live it, breathe it, piss it. It's me. Always been into it. Was a Sega kid. Became an Xbox kid. Became a journalist and then had to pretend that I had to open my horizons to Sony and Xbox, Sony and Nintendo. Passed from pillar to post. Did some things that are incredible. Did some things that are dreams come true. Living the dream. Yeah, it's hometown boy gone good. It's just, I mean, I love it, breathe it, piss it. As I say, that's me. Yes, I get the shakes when I don't play for too long. Which is a kind of weird thing, because it's like, I used to do this thing where you're kind of like, technically every Friday, you're like a guy going to his dealer to get a hit, because you hunger for the hit. Doesn't matter if you clear it, you just want the next hit. So before I was writing, I used to, like, every Friday I'd go in and buy, like, the new hotness. And like, I remember one day I went in and I bought like Turok, Devil May Cry 4, Burnout Paradise in the club, and it was like, at the point you're going, this is amazing, I've got four brand new, like, that's 120 quid's worth of games, and you would play them on weekends and you'd be like, yay. And then come next Friday you're like, oh, what's out this Friday? And it's never enough, it's all consuming. But the nature of the beast has changed. Where, like, things like Xbox Game Pass and all that, Humble Bundles and stuff and that. And, yeah, it's like one of my best mates twinned me with a flock of locusts. I just fly in, nummy, 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 and then fly away. I've got like 100,000 gamer score. My gamer score's in fucking We Choke a Donkey, which kind of tells you everything, I think, on how I play. But yeah, social, isolated, it's all good. Play games, love games. I like games. Pew, pew.
Good. Yeah, Brian, Odin's was very similar to you. He learnt to read a lot quicker and became a really good reader because he wanted to play more video games. I understand what's going on.
Excellent.
So, game.
You just wanted him to narrate a JRPG you were playing. It's like, I ain't got time to read. Read it for me.
Well, yeah. I do like voice acting in games, so I don't have to read.
Good voice acting.
Well, yeah, not that's bad. True. Yeah. Yeah, video games, they're good. They're fun. We all like them.
Yeah, yeah. Video games are great.
Yeah, we survived the apocalypse. Feel good. I hope that answers Fraser's question in some way, shape, form, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, if you're looking for some other like-minded guys, a bit kind of similar to us, but not quite as cool. Fraser's based in Canada, and they podcast with guys in England and in Scotland on occasion, though the Scottish division has kind of disappeared since, like, for a while. Don't know, maybe Bears got them. Bears, yeah, it happens. But yeah, the Seal podcast is also a great podcast because they always give you the Seal approval, which, who doesn't like the Seal approval? Some guy.
Well, I mean, I love getting a Seal of approval.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks very much for the shout-out, guys, and the question.
Absolutely.
Although, negative points for not asking me if Stadia could capitalise on this event, and will they?
Nope.
They don't seem to be really, so far.
That's a really in-joke, but every week I ask them, they ask for questions, and every week I ask them, regardless of my question at the end, will Stadia capitalise on this situation? Could they? Really?
Well, they don't seem to be so far, so.
Well, Stadia's dropped the price. That's the thing. It's like nobody knows. But yeah, apparently they've dropped it to like a tenner or something. I don't know, actually know, but yeah, it's kind of circling the sink.
On its way out.
Well, the star that shines twice as bright burns half as long. and then there's Stadia.
Yep, which, and as we all know, nothing has shined brighter than Google Stadia.
All those exclusives. Oh dear.
Well, I think that'll about do us.
Yeah.
If anybody else has any final thoughts, otherwise, I think we're just going to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. Stay safe. Air hold your family close.
Stay inside. Don't go outside unless you absolutely have
to.
It's
too late.
Please stay inside.
It's too late to wash your hands. I'm sorry. It's too late.
But wash your hands anyway. And your face.
Yeah, just do it. Do it a habit. You know what I mean? I've been doing it all my life, so you might as well continue to do it. You know?
It is truly astonishing, like, how many people were like, oh, I'm not used to washing my hands so often. It's like, I wash my hands like 40 times a day, dogs. Like,
yeah, it's like every time.
Every time you go to the bathroom, and also anytime I'm just near a sink, I will just wash my hands.
Sticky stuff in controllers, people. Sticky stuff in controllers.
Yeah, man.
It's like, God forbid you brush your teeth. That'll blow your mind. Brush my teeth. I can brush my teeth. Jesus, God. But yeah, get lots of gaming done. I'm venturing out in the JRPG trial, and I may be dipping my toe in the water with Persona 5 Royal.
Excellent.
Ooh. It's a scary thought, but
maybe I'll buy that and put it next to my copy of Persona 5 that I already have.
Be like, maybe one day I'll get the time. Now is the time,
man. Yeah, so I think I told everybody in the last episode that we would have a website by the time of this episode. We do. It's gamersguidetothegalaxy.space, because we're in space. That's why.
Because we're cool. Because we're cool like that.
Yeah, we can say it fun.
You can also find us, obviously, on Twitter at gamersgalaxypod. You can find me on Twitter at WadeBrianR. Charles, where can we find you on Twitter?
Vader Van Odin. And because this is a new podcast, I'm going to mention, because there might be new people here, that I run a small YouTube channel with my son under the same name, Vader Van Odin. So I'd love any support.
Yeah, what is it? VaderVanOdin.net is where all of your stuff is?
Yeah, or .com. We have both.
Or .com?
We're fancy.
I can't remember which one it was.
We're fancy like that.
Stuart, what about you?
You can find me under Fury AC3 on everything under the sun. Where you'll find all my goodness and my blatherings and writings and ramblings and pew pew. Guess the gun.
And as always, we have one final thing to say. Don't forget your gamepad. You guys forgot.
Yeah, I did.
Keep dancing.
Stay home, save lives.
Also that.
Yeah, stay inside, save a life.
All right, I'm stopping recording now.
We don't get to say bye. I like saying bye. Catches. That's the cheese of cats.